الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Almost every gathering in our culture and society has entrance criteria. If a person meets those criteria, then they can enter the gathering. And if they are lacking in those criteria, then they are excluded from the gathering. As an example, if a person wants to go to college, then they have to fill out an application. And in that application, they have to list their characteristics and their qualities. In addition, they have to have a decent GPA. They have to present their standardized test scores. They have to get letters of recommendation. They have to show the different activities they were in. And if all of that meets the admissions criteria of the college, then and only then will they grant them admission. When a person wants to apply for a job, they submit their resume, they submit their letters of recommendation, they submit proof of their degrees sometimes. They send all of that in, and if that's acceptable to the employer, they don't even get a job, they get an interview. Then they get another round interview. Then they get another round interview. Until finally, they might get a job. When a person wants to invest in certain investments, they have all these criteria. For the very wealthy people who want to invest in these hedge funds and these types of things, you can't go and invest in a hedge fund. They have criteria. They say you need to show that you have this many millions of dollars in assets, and you have this, and you have that, and you have this much excess cash. And if you meet all of those criteria, then and only then do they give you permission to invest in that hedge fund or that particular vehicle of investment. There are two general rules, or there are a few general rules that apply in all of these circumstances. The first is, the greater the opportunity, the harder it is to obtain. The greater the opportunity, the harder it is to obtain. So if a person wants to go to a local college, that's a small school that has relatively few students, it's a little easier. And the application may not be as intense. But if a person wants to go to the top school in the country and they have a very small class size, it becomes very, very vigorous. If a person wants to get an entry-level position in an entry-level company, it's fairly doable. If a person wants a top job in a top company, it becomes, again, very competitive and very difficult. So one principle concerning the opportunities in this life and the various gatherings to which we apply is that the greater the gathering, the more difficult it is. And the second is that the greater the gathering, the fewer the spots. That's just a general principle. Quality is limited, and people competing for quality are many. A person wants to work at a top company, the top firm only has X number of positions, and they'll tell you, we get 5,000 applications for each position. You look at some of the top universities in the country and look at their acceptance ratio, it's 3-4%, and they're telling you that they get 500 applications for every spot. 500 people apply, and they can choose from 500 people, they choose one person. Because quality is limited, and many, many people are striving for quality. This is the general principle in almost every sphere of our life. It doesn't matter where you look. In every sphere of life, the same principle applies. The only exception, or the major exception, is deen. Deen is the highest quality gathering that a person can attain, and it has the lowest entry criteria possible. Deen is the highest level gathering that a person can obtain, and it has the lowest entry criteria possible, and the spots are unlimited. No one is turned away. This is the blessing of our Lord. If a person wants to enter into deen, nobody will say, what did you do? Nobody will say, what was your GPA? Nobody will say, show me the list of your achievements. Nobody will say, who do you know? Nobody will say, how much did you make? Nobody will ask whether you're tall or whether you're short or what your skin color is or what your status is or who your parents were. They just ask one thing, that a person come with a sincere feeling in their heart that Allah is one and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. If a person has that and makes the statement and testifies to faith, they enter into deen. No other questions asked. Whereas it should have been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have said to the community that, do this and do that, do this and do that, be this and be that, and then you can have a connection with me. But it's the total opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lowered all barriers to entrance into his domain. If a person desires him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is available the moment that desire comes in his heart. And no question will be asked, what did you do with the last 20 years? No question will be asked, who do you know or how much do you make? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person completely. And beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approaches a person when they approach him. You know, you send an application to a top school and you're lucky if you get back a postcard. You're lucky if you get back a postcard. You approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a footstep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 10 towards you. We approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approaches us running. Every benefit is given to the person who wants to approach Allah and his deen. Every opportunity is given to the person who wants to approach Allah and his deen. So much so that if you go to a university or you get a job, here you are, you're this great person. And I know this story has just happened recently. Somebody was telling me this story. I know a person, he worked his whole life, because he wanted to become a certain type of doctor. His parents did homework with him every single night from when he was 5 years old. Every night, they got him ahead. They made him study math, they made him study science, they made him study spelling, English, grammar. From day one, they put him in the best schools, they worked with him, coached him, trained him, made sure that he was in sports, made sure he was in activities, made sure that he did well on standardized tests, made sure he took advantage of the best opportunities in schooling, spent as much money as they could to advance him. Eventually, he got into medical school. He got into medical school. When he got into medical school, he worked very hard. He became a top student in his class. He worked day and night. He took on the responsibility of teaching other students. He took on the responsibility on himself of writing and teaching and learning and doing everything possible. Until finally it came to the point when he had to apply for residency. He applied for one of the hardest residencies. He had the best scores, and he got into this top residency. He got into this residency, all of his dreams had come true. His parents' dreams had come true. His dreams had come true. 6 months into the residency, he wrote me an email. And he said in this email, "Can you please write me a letter of recommendation? I was fired from my position yesterday." I said, "Subhanallah." I'm thinking in the back of my mind, he spent 20 plus years trying to get this position, and he got fired from that position. Now, what happened? I don't know. He got in some sort of argument with the lead person or whoever it might be, and somehow eventually they all got against him, and eventually they all got against him, and they just found an excuse, and they eventually fired him. But once they fired him, it was on his permanent record. Nobody wanted to even give him a second look. So what happens? Person works that hard to achieve that state, eventually gets into the thing that he wanted to get into, requires the training. It does not an individual. The whole family basically sacrificed to get him there. He makes a mistake. He eventually gets kicked out and everything is down the drain. Okay, now you look at the opposite extreme. A person can make zero effort, make a sincere intention, come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with limited effort, meaning that family doesn't need to sacrifice, they don't need to spend years and years. The moment they make that, the moment that person makes a decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embraces that person. Now what happens? That person becomes a person of Allah. That person becomes a Muslim in deen. That person becomes somebody who now claims to be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happens? That person commits a grave sin. Okay, that person commits a grave sin. And what becomes the consequence of that person? If that person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns to that person even more than before. Number one. Number two, if that person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases that person's sin completely from the book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through hadith we know, challenges the person even further by having the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that you can sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent. You will tire of sinning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ever tire of repenting. The other way. Allah, you could sin and repent, sin and repent. You will tire of sinning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tire of forgiving you. That's the extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. That never happens anyplace else. Person will work day and night, work day and night, work day and night. They get a top job. If they don't like you in that job, or if something goes wrong and they need to blame you, you become the scapegoat. They blame you and cut you. You can make an investment in something and you can lose all of your money, despite the fact that you spent your whole life collecting $1 million to invest in this particular fund or hedge fund or investment. And what happens eventually? Something goes wrong. All of it goes down the drain. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barriers are low, the reward is guaranteed, and if a person makes a mistake, it's easy to rectify that mistake. There's no deal that's better than that. Nobody can say, "I applied for the top college, and when I got to that college, I did nothing. I did nothing. I did nothing. I failed, and I went back and apologized," and they said, "Okay, no problem. You can restart. We'll just make everything an A." Nobody can say that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that any excuse possible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it in order to allow the believer an opportunity for a second chance, third chance, fifth chance, 100th chance, 200th chance, 5,000th chance. It never ends. It never ends. And that... this scenario is only further highlighted by the very, very special days in which we find ourselves. These are the days of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in so many different ways through the Hajj. First and foremost, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe, He first created the Kaaba. And from the Kaaba, everything else was created. Second, the Kaaba is the nodal point upon which all the barakat descend. All the barakat descend. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends blessings upon creation, they descend upon the Kaaba, and from the Kaaba they distribute among humanity. And not among humanity, among all of the alameen, among all of creation. It's such a huge blessing that we can even be associated with this house. That we can even think about visiting this house. I think there's no person in this room, I'm not saying that every person can go there, Because we know some people will have the ability to go and some people won't have the ability to go. But everybody can dream of going there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not preclude anyone of dreaming of going there, and every person has that dream. And every person is rewarded based on their intention. If they can't go, but they wish they could have been there, and they make the intention that if I had the opportunity, I would go, they get the same reward. Again, where is a person going to find such a deal? That we can even fathom going to the house of Allah. It's like, you know, I mean, how many people actually think, if they actually really wanted to, think that they could go to the house of some very elevated person in this world? You know, I mean, I don't know who in the, you know, in the life of this world, you elevate people and they actually decline and rise just as quickly. But let's just say a person had a dream of visiting a president of a country. I mean, most people in a particular country never could even fathom going to the house of the president of the country. Nobody would even think about it. What are you thinking about? Are you talking about? That's not even possible. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the possibility in the mind of every believer that they can visit his home. And each person who visits his home comes with a full reward with no decline because the other person came. Where is that opportunity? You know, when you go to a class, person goes to college, the first thing they tell you on the first day in a competitive college, the first thing they tell you on the first day, there's going to be a curve. One deviation above the curve is an A. Two, you know, whatever. There's a mean, and the mean is going to be a B, and one deviation beneath the mean is going to be a C. That's it. So what does that mean? What does that tell you? That tells you that if there's 100 people in the class, only X people can get an A, and only X people can get a B, and some people will get a C, and there will definitely be people that get a D because of the way the deviation in the curve is set up. Yeah, so it's at everybody's cost. If one person does well, the other person doesn't do well. They're competing with one another. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no competition. Every person can attain the same nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the other person's nearness decreasing. Every person can obtain the same reward from Allah without any other person's benefit decreasing. Actually, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. If a person enables another person to get reward, then they get their reward plus a piece of the other person's reward. So there's actually no competition. The only competition is, how much can you take? Right? Look, there's two types of competition. One competition is that there's a limited resource and everybody has to compete with each other about how much they can take of that resource. Okay? There's X amount of wealth on the planet, or there's X amount of opportunity, and all the companies are competing with each other for customers. Because there's a limited number of customers and there's all these companies out there. Then there's the other scenario. The other scenario is that the treasure is infinite. The only thing you have to do is get as much as you can and enable other people to get as much as they can, and you can even get more in that circumstance. That doesn't exist, but that's the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no limit to how much a person can obtain. And the more you have another person obtain, the more you actually get. There's never a decrease for what you get. This is the mercy of Allah. So in these very, very special days, we should be very cognizant of what a blessing it is to be in this deen. What a blessing it is to be in this deen. And in this day and age, that's not an easy thing to appreciate. Because from every angle, people are degrading deen, attacking deen, questioning deen, smearing the name of deen. It just becomes very difficult. A human being is a human being. They get worn away. Eventually, it hits the ears, it hits the eyes, it hits the tongue, it comes in from the ears, and it's not a one-day thing. It's a day-in, day-out, or a week-in, week-out. So we have to be cognizant of who we are, and we have to be cognizant of the great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. We are the least, like you know, we say, what's the summary of the Hajj? The summary of the Hajj is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the least deserving people on the planet to do the most amazing thing. That's what Hajj is. If a person gets an opportunity to go for Hajj, basically the summary is that I am the least deserving person on the planet and Allah has called me to do the most amazing of deeds. To visit his home and to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to replicate the acts that were done by the prophets that came before. It's an opportunity to emulate the prophets that came before. And of course, in particular, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the sunan that he and his companions established by performing the Hajj. So we should be thankful to Allah. We should be grateful to Allah. We should take these days to praise Allah. And these are basically days of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have been given entry into deen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the barrier so low that a mere statement from the tongue allows a person to enter into deen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy that once a person enters into deen, they have to actually try to fail. They would have to run the other way purposely. Anytime they slip, anytime they make a mistake, anytime they seek forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains them in deen. And that the reward of deen is such that it can be never taken away. A person can work, like I said, 25 years, and then his whole career gets taken away because he didn't get along with one person. A person can spend their whole lifetime building up their business, and they can go bankrupt and lose everything in a couple days. And once it's gone, it's gone. It's permanent. But in the case of deen, once a person does a good deed and it's stacked away in their book of deeds, no one can take it. No one can take it except ourselves. No one can take it from us. You know, people are afraid, what if somebody doesn't like me at my job and gives me a hard time and I lose my job? Okay, somebody can take your job from you. What if somebody comes and steals my assets? What if somebody steals my name and my social security number and pretends they're me and there's identity theft and they take all of my wealth? Yeah, somebody can steal your wealth. But the one thing that nobody can steal is our good deeds. No person in the world can come and take them. They're stashed away. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this paradigm. You take it with you to your grave, and once you get to your grave, it's yours. The only one that can steal our good deeds is ourselves. By performing deeds in which we harm others, which then allows them to take our good deeds from them, not here, but on the Day of Judgment. So we should be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us the sense to pursue deen over dunya, that He created the entry into deen. He created the entry into deen with a very low barrier, that He created a very high multiple, that a person can make limited effort and gain such a huge reward, and that He created a circumstance in which if a person is not able to perform to the level that they wish they could perform, that they simply make tawbah or istighfar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates them for their tawbah and their istighfar. And it's in these days, when you have these very, very special days, when people have gone for the Hajj, and people are seeking Allah's forgiveness, and people are enacting the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, which was predicated on the Sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ, and people are debasing Shaitan in such a way that they're throwing tiny little pebbles at these pillars, and by throwing these tiny pebbles, they're just reducing Shaitan to nothing. They're embarrassing him in the most humiliating way. These are all blessings from Allah. These are huge blessings from Allah. And these are the days in which we recall those blessings, we enumerate those blessings, we are thankful for those blessings, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us the opportunity to take advantage of these blessings. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take advantage of these very, very special days. We ask that He make us among those who are cognizant of the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. We ask that He make us among those who are able to partake of the Hajj. And we ask that He grant the forgiveness that He bestows upon the people of Arafah, that He grant and bestow that forgiveness upon us as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.